A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Jared is up next in South Jordan, and good morning, Jared. What is your question?
Yeah, hi, good morning. Hey, I just have a couple questions, if you don't mind. First one is my zucchini squash and my yellow squash are doing really well, but the leaves, they got like a whiteness to them, and it's kind of internal. Is that from overwatering, underwatering, lack of nutrition?
Well, does it look just kind of like a silvery, almost variegation or silvery regular pattern on the leaves, so it's concentric to both sides?
Yeah. It's kind of like milky throughout the leaf. It doesn't dominate the whole leaf, but it's just in it. It just doesn't look right to me.
Well, I suspect that it may just be natural. There are several varieties of squash and zucchini that have kind of a silvery white pattern in the leaves. The other thing it could be is powdery mildew, and powdery mildew will kill the leaves. It will turn them white and then brown, and they look scorched as the disease works its way through.
It's almost like it's inside the leaf, like it's internal, you know, like it's part of the leaf. It's not really something on the outside, and it's both on my yellow squash and my zucchini.
But the plants themselves look healthy?
Yeah, they do. They look really healthy, but I just was curious if I was overwatering, underwatering.
I would say probably neither. If the plants are healthy and they just have this silvery white coloring that's a part of the leaf itself, it's completely natural. And so if you wanted to, that Utah Gardening Experts Facebook page, if you uploaded some pictures, we could quickly tell if it was powdery mildew or if it was just the natural color. But I would give it an 80 or 90% chance that it's natural color.
Okay. And then just real quickly, I have a grapevine, just a little grapes. Love them in the fall. Is there a good general fertilizer to use for grapes?
Depending on how aggressive the grapes are, you may not need one. Are the leaves very dark green and healthy?
They look really healthy this year.
And are you getting the yields you want off the grapes?
Well, it's a new plant. I think it's only 2 years old. This year I've got a lot of grapes on it.
Okay. Well, are you just growing it on a chain link fence?
I kind of made a makeshift version of that.
Okay, because normally we recommend taking the grapes off for at least 3 years to get the plant established. And there's whole pruning techniques and things to do that. You know, you're probably not going to hurt anything leaving those grapes on, but it's a general rule of thumb with grapes and like fruit trees to let them grow for 3 years and you take all the fruit off in the spring. So
it might be 3 years. My timeline, my memory's not very good. But
you know,
it's not very, very old.
Yeah, in this case, oftentimes fertilizing grapes is like feeding a monster, and you only do it if the grape isn't performing well, and you can confirm that it's a nutrient deficiency. So in this situation, if it's healthy, it's growing well, the fruit looks good, I would just leave it alone.
Okay. And would there be anything, I just asked this question, I have a chicken coop that's right by that grapevine, and what I usually do is I'll just scatter the chicken poo and kind of kill it in with a shovel all around that area. Any bad ideas with that? Is that too much?
Well, it could be. Not knowing how much and the salt content, over time, if you did too much, you could definitely kill it with salt.
Okay.
And so if you're going to do that, I would maybe compost that fertilizer first, or just really light applications, like monthly, of an eighth of an inch or something. You know, and maybe you could do a little more in the fall, but not, you know, don't overdo it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your help.
All right, Jared, thanks for your call this morning. Next text question, Tana. This person said they did a section of their yard in sod about 2 months ago. Now they have slime mold. What can they do to treat it? Slime mold.
Ugh. Slime mold is it's not really a fungus. It's its own thing, but it decomposes organic matter in the soil. And where there's organic matter, you have the potential to have mushrooms and slime molds and things. And so we've had several calls lately on these slime molds. People are like, what's this dog vomit looking stuff on my lawn? Or, you know, and it's just slime mold and it's there. It doesn't hurt anything. Get a shovel, throw it away, and it may or may not come back. But there's really nothing you can do about it. But we have apparently had favorable conditions because this is the third or fourth one this week that I've been asked about.
Okay. Jerry is up next in Provo. Good morning, Jerry. What is your question today?
Well, I think you might have answered it. My question is about there's dry patches in our lawn, and we have seen some white moths here and there in that area, and wondering if it's, I don't know what they're called. That's not cutworm, is it? What is it?
Well, I mean, you've just called me and in essence said, I've got a headache. Why? So there's so many things that could be going on. So did you say you had tried to pull up the patches of lawn?
Yeah, we pulled up some patches and it doesn't look like there's any root.
Okay. So the most common pest is sod webworm, or not, excuse me, Kentucky bluegrass billbug. There's other species of billbug, sod webworm, and white grubs that all could be causing the damage. But fortunately, the same insecticides generally knock out all of them, especially if you do a pre-emergent in the spring. So did your lawn have a preventative? So did your lawn have a preventative applied to it?
I think so. We're at a HOA, so we have a guy people that take care of the lawn, but and I think they did do a pre-emergent, but I'm not positive of that.
Well, without knowing for sure, it's a little late in the season to be putting the preventatives down just because they are either the bill bugs are dormant, or, you know, it becomes more difficult in the middle of the spring. So as you walk on that lawn, do you see any moths flying up?
Yeah.
Okay, and are they little white ones that you take a step and three or four fly up?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, it's probably sod webworm, especially if these moths are prevalent around where the brown patches are. You may need to talk to the homeowners association to see if they can apply something, or if it's on your property, if you shouldn't need their permission to apply anything.
No, we just need to make sure they'll do it. I mean, I don't know that they know what to do. I'm not sure.
It would be worth, you know, a lot of times lawn maintenance guys are really good, but there's so many things out there, and especially if their experienced people aren't on the site all the time and you've got the mowing crew or whatever, oftentimes the day-to-day workers don't know as much and you could be led astray. And so in this situation, I would probably, let's see, you're in Provo?
Right.
So what I would do is email some pictures. Well, let's see. Yeah, let's email some pictures over to me. Meredith is pretty overwhelmed. So my email is Taun, T-A-U-N.
I'm sorry, tell me what the email is.
It's Taun, it's T-A-U-N.
C-A-U-N?
Yeah, .Bedes, B-E-D-D-E-S.
B-E-D-D-E-S.
At USU.
At USU?
.edu, correct.
Okay, that's C-A-U-N.
T as in, like, Thomas, or T-A-U-N.
at CETTES at USU.edu?
No, Bedes. B as in boy. BEDDES.
Oh, Bedes. Oh, sure, Bedes. Bedes at USU. Okay.
All right, Jerry.
All right.
Good luck. Thanks for your call this morning. Our next texter, Ton, it says, this is Spence in Sandy. He has very sandy soil, and he's wondering how much water he should be putting on per week during this really hot weather.
In this situation, with sandy soil, which I grew up with, and it's actually wonderful in a lot of ways, you water more often with less water because the water that is there penetrates through the soil more quickly. And so in this situation, I would probably set my sprinklers up for like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday thing. And just guessing, I don't know a sprinkling system or anything, you want to water to a depth of 6 inches to a foot. And in an average situation, that's usually 20 minutes on pop-ups and 30 or 40 minutes on rotary sprinklers. But what I would do is just run at that setting and then the next morning go out and do some digging and see how deep the water went. If it's 6 inches to a foot deep, they're great, but you can adjust up or down from there.
All right. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thanks for letting us be a part of your Saturday morning on the KSL Greenhouse Show. The number to call, 801-575-8255 with your questions, or you can text us at 57500. Our next question, any suggestions, Ton, what vegetables to plant now that the peas, spinach, and lettuce are gone?
So what vegetables to plant now that peas, spinach, and lettuce are gone? So
you can replant your lettuce.
It's a little hot, but you definitely can. And you would do fall plantings. And so there's a few options here. One is that you could, if you've only got 30 or 60 days or something, just keep the weeds out and replant a little bit later in the summer and just redo those same crops for fall season crops. You could do beets, maybe some short season green beans. There's many things you could do.
Yeah, Sheridan last week was talking about beets and the wide variety of beets and how you're going to have a fall crop with those.
You can, and those can be staggered through the summer. If we had a longer growing season in the fall, and sometimes we do, or if you're in one of the warmer areas, the Wasatch Front, you might get away with corn, a short season corn, and get a fall crop of it. So that's a little bit risky at this point. I would have rather seen it planted a few weeks ago, but you may get away with it. If it were a little earlier, they could have done a green manure, which is just you grow, you know, some beans or some grain or something for 30 or 45 days and then turn them under to add some organic matter to the soil and then replant then. But at this point, you know, it's going to be another 30 to 45 days. And I don't know if I would bother doing that.
A grain manure.
Yes.
I even heard that term. Okay.
Sometimes they're called green mulches or something, but it's just basically you're planting something that grows relatively quickly to prevent weeds. And because if it were fall, you could use a plant called Austrian field pea that will often survive the winter. And what they will do is get going, and because they are using soil resources, they're shading the soil, they keep weeds down, but then you turn them under when they start to flower, and they add some organic matter back into the soil and a little bit of nitrogen.
Great idea. Okay, let's take a call from Jenny in Midvale. Good morning, Jenny. What is your question? Jenny, are
Hello?
You there? Go ahead, Jenny. What is your question?
We have a white vinyl fence in a raised flower bed, and our evergreens and our grasses are doing great, but just about most every flower or little flowering shrub we plant just burns up. Is that what's happening? It's burning up. We water, probably the sprinklers come on at 4 a.m. and then we water morning, late morning and early evening. We've lost a lot of day lilies.
Without being able to investigate the watering situation, it's really hard to say if that's what's going on. But white vinyl, because of its very color, doesn't put off a lot of reflected heat like a brick wall or, you know, a darker color fence would. And so most of those flowers normally would do just fine. And so the first thing you need to look at, you know, especially when you're done irrigating, is the state of the soil. And you would go out there, you know, the morning that your sprinklers have run, and then dig down a little bit and see how deeply water's penetrating into the soil to make sure it is and make sure it's not a swamp.
Okay.
So that would be the first thing. And if you can confirm that the soil's just evenly moist, then some other things to look at are the amount of shade. You know, if you've got things that really dark, dense shade, that could cause some problems. If you've got other things growing in there, I doubt it's the soil itself, like being too salty or something. But if you can eliminate irrigation and shade, the next thing to look at is the soil. And it may be worth having Utah State University do a soil test for you.
Yeah, we do get full afternoon sun on the back, but...
Well, and, you know, people a lot of times assume, oh, I've got this vinyl fence, it's horrible for plants. And I, with the color of it, it's a lot better than a lot, say you had a black fence there or a brick wall that absorbed a lot of summer heat. It's actually easier for those plants to deal with that, especially if they're in full sun. And so usually in these situations, it's more a watering issue. It's either too much or too little that's killing those plants out. It could be a lot of other things, but that's the first thing to look at.
Okay. Appreciate your help. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jenny, thanks so much for your call this morning. It's almost time to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back after the top of the hour, you're going to talk about sweet potatoes, Don.
We are. Annie Smith, an intern here, grew them last year and had good success, and she'll talk about what she did.
All right. Stay with us on the KSL Greenhouse.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.